Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds. Well, here we are with two wonderful representatives of their respective arbitration and mediation institutions. You want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Melanie Meillac. I'm the manager for the ICC, for the expertise, the dispute board, the docdex, and the ADR services.
And I'm Mark Appel. I'm a senior vice president for the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the international division of the American Arbitration Association. I manage operations for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa.
Well, so you guys both offer basically the same services. You offer mediation. Well, you're both arbitration institutions initially. The ICC and the ICDR and AAA are known for offering arbitration.
May I interrupt you?
Sure.
Because we are not at the ICC, the International Chamber of Commerce, we are not really an arbitration or ADR institution. We are a dispute resolution institution, means one of the main goals of the ICC since its creation has been to provide the business community with a wide range of dispute resolution mechanisms. And among these mechanisms, you are arbitration, expertise, dispute board, docdex, and ADR.
Yeah, I think for all of the institutions, at least the ones who want to stay in business, they have to stay up with what their clients are looking for. So at ICDR, what we're asking is, what kind of process do you need? And then from an institutional viewpoint, it's building a process that meets the needs of the particular parties in the particular circumstance.
You know, and Melanie makes a good point, and, you know, in addition to correcting me for the misstatement of fact, but also that you're both nonprofits, right? Correct?
Right.
As organizations.
And that has a number of benefits, so one of which is working with other institutions, one of which is, I think, more credibility from a standard setting perspective, a bit more trust, the ability to work with governments, which we do, sometimes actually standing in the shoes of government or providing training programs or working with government staffs, so it certainly is helpful. We educate a lot, and that's how the process grows, so it's good for the process as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's approximately the same idea for the ICC. We are also a non-profit organization, a global organization. We have a big network because we work with more than 90 national ICC national committees from all over the world. We have several commission and various topic as regard to the international business. So we also propose to users model contracts and rules and dispute resolution mechanism also.
So you're both nonprofits that we could fairly say compete in the same area of offering dispute resolution services. So I guess let me propose two hypotheses. You are aggressive competitors and you're out to take away each other's business. And, you know, we could have a knockdown fight here, but unfortunately it's audio and we wouldn't capture that. And I think Melanie could take you, Mark.
Oh, boy, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm shuddering.
the other hypothesis here is that this is a case where international mediation is something that really requires a lot of education, a lot of information, and it's one where all boats rise together, at least for right now, and that really you're hooked to each other as international institutions. And this is one where I think that people have an experience with ICDR. They may, in fact, you know, with mediation that's positive, it may want them to try ICC and vice versa.
Sure.
And this also means that they have a negative experience with one or the other institution. They may impute that into the other. I mean, it's do you agree? Which hypothesis do you think is the more accurate of the two?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the latter. Institutions have been working together for a long time. I mean, our particular institutions for over 20 years. I don't think it's over 30 yet, but it's certainly over 20 years. have been putting on an annual colloquium, and also with ICSID. So it's the ICDR-ICC ICSID, and it's either in Washington or it's in New York or it's in Paris every year. And it's always an extraordinary forum. And as you say, when the process works, all of the institutions benefit. So it is of interest to the institutions to work together. We also work with an organization, both institutions, called IFCAI, the International Federation of Commercial Arbitration Institutions. And again, the idea is to assist, and especially some of the more established dispute resolution institutions, to lend some expertise and some experience to some of the newer institutions, help them get on their feet, raise the bar, raise the standard, so that arbitration, mediation, other dispute resolution options work in those jurisdictions. That's good for all of us.
Yeah, that's completely true. We are true. We do a lot of joint events with other national or local institutions, but also other international institutions, in order to exchange view about the different difficulty we face and about the different feeling we have about the new trends as regard to the alternative dispute resolution in general.
One of the things we clearly agree on is that institutional dispute resolution is a far better way to go than ad hoc. Instead of making it up as you go along, institutions have a long history of providing a framework that meets generally accepted international standards. And so you know when you adopt them, usually by using a short clause instead of a lengthy pathological clause, you're going to get a process that looks pretty much the same with the major institutions. So Melanie and I are sitting in the same room. We may disagree on some things, but in the end, we're going to agree that you're far better off with an institutional proceeding than you are with one.
By the way, this is taking us off topic here, but I'll tell you, a little of my pet peeves in my own organization is every once in a while, some of my, and one of my colleagues, Jean-Claude Najjar, who was also a former, or a current in many ways, arbitration specialist, who's the general counsel of my business, we would systematically go through and revise our arbitration clauses where we had institutions and simplify them, just adopt those of the institutions and say these are tried and tested clauses. And then, time passes and lawyers work on these things and complexity works its way in. And so rather than, the mechanisms for appointing arbitrators, and then so every couple of years you have to go back and prune them with all of the lawyering that's been added to these in the meantime. Sorry, that's a little aside there.
That's actually a very good point. I mean, the lawyers think that they add value by adding words, and that's not necessarily the case. So one of the things we preach, whether it's ICDR or whether it's ICC, is small is good, simple is good. Yeah. Start simple.
How long have your institutions that ask this? How long have you been offering mediation?
Oh, thank you. Actually, we propose conciliation since we propose arbitration. The first rules of optional conciliation and arbitration was in 1973. And we use conciliation since this time. But in 2000, we perceived an increasing worldwide demand for amicable dispute resolution. And as a result, under the auspices of the Commission on Arbitration, we created a task force in order to prepare a new separate ADR rules. So that's maybe the first particularity of the ADR rules.
Your organization, like the group that you lead, was created recently, right? Well, not recently.
You mean the team?
The team.
No,
right.
Since the beginning.
Oh, since the beginning.
Of course, because you have to preserve, in order to preserve a maximum of confidentiality between the mediation or conciliation proceeding and the potential arbitration proceeding. So in order to preserve a maximum of confidentiality, since the beginning, we have a secretariat for the arbitration proceeding and a separate secretariat and, by the matter of fact, a separate team for the amicable dispute resolution services.
ICDR was actually the parent organization. So the American Arbitration Association was formed in 1926, and it was actually formed as a result of a mediation. So mediation goes right to the heart, sort of the forming of the organization. There were two separate institutions in place at the time, and they negotiated with the assistance of a third party mediator, a merger, becoming the AAA. Now,
so only 3 years after the ICC.
Yeah, in terms of very good
competition emerged.
Yeah, there you are. In terms of use of the process, I think the organization comes by it because of the rapid growth of the process on the domestic side in the U.S. So it was, I think, in the I would say actually not 70s. I would say. 1980s, in a commercial context, you started seeing multinationals proposing mediation to their clients, largely in the U.S. I actually began at that time. I was managing an office for the association in the West in Denver, and started doing training programs for the courts and for bar associations and the like, and started seeing a growth of that process.
Of mediation.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it sort of grew organically, even in the States. You didn't see it in places like New York, but you saw it in California, you saw it in Colorado, you saw it in Florida, Texas Institution, you know, places like that. And then eventually the process grew to the extent that multinationals said, you know, we like this process, we're going to take it international. So ICDR... you know, now formed 1986, our first procedures, we say we're going to incorporate mediation with our international procedures. So we start using things like checkoff boxes. Would you like to use mediation? The call comes from the case manager when the case is filed. Have you considered mediation? The idea being that, you know, for some parties, a negotiated solution is better than a decision from a third party, and we should let, you know, parties decide if they want to use that process. Yes.
Right, and Nelina, when did you get involved in mediation separately from the ICC?
In 2000 in Australia.
And doing what?
I'm doing mediation with a well-known mediator in Australia, following him doing several mediation.
And how was that experience?
Fantastic. Okay. At the time, I decided that I really want to join a bigger and maybe the most well-known and the leader on the market. As we got to a dispute resolution mechanism.
Okay.
And so I joined the ICC in 2003. But just to come back on the rules, because we follow maybe the same, we share the same history as regard to the creation of the new ADR rules, because we perceive this increasing worldwide demand for amicable dispute resolution, we create the task force under the auspices of the Commission on Arbitration, in order to think about a new rules, a separate booklet from the arbitration rules. And as a result, we create the ADR rules in 2001, which is amicable dispute resolution instead of the alternative dispute resolution. And this was to create a clear distinction between arbitration and other amicable dispute resolution techniques.
Yeah, well, sounds like what you're saying is you know, we in GE have this concept called VOC. It's called voice of the customer. And it's where we actually go out and we listen to customers. We try to get their perception, figure out, you know, whether they're happy or not with what we're doing, but also try to figure out not just where they are today and what they want, but where they're going to be in a few years.
You know? Yeah, it's really an institutional philosophy is, and I think consistent with the way we approach everything. If you took our arbitration procedures, the first rule says that you can change these rules by your written agreement. I mean, the concept of party autonomy. Right. In dispute resolution, generally speaking, is something that's honored internationally. So if that's the case, why shouldn't that also govern what kind of process do you want? Do you necessarily want a decision at all? How would you like someone to give you a quick a review of your case and an opinion? Or how would you like somebody to sit down with you in a room and try to work through a settlement options with you? So a mediator or an early neutral evaluation, or, you know, it's what you want. And you're right, what does the customer want? We make it cheap to access because it doesn't require a great deal of administration, unlike an arbitration proceeding. So essentially the parties are looking to get a mediator appointed, get to mediation, solve the problem.
So very low cost to end.
Very low.
With the ICC, what's the initial fee?
It's 1,500 US dollars.
Okay, so between the two parties.
Yes.
Between the two parties, so 750 apiece. So in either event, you know, these are not the arbitration advances or big fees. You know, these are just, and that starts the process.
But there are a lot of financial bridge between the arbitration proceeding, ICC arbitration proceeding, and ADR, for example. If you are in the middle of the arbitration proceeding and the party agreed on the fact that they want to try an ADR, an ICC ADR, for, they would not have to pay the ADR registration fee because it's the same
you're
institution.
That's it. You're already in the door, so what, now that
exactly.
you're in.
Okay, yeah.
Same, and the same is true with ICDR. The idea is to make it easy, and so whether it's at the beginning of the case, whether it's a checkoff box on a demand form, whether it's reminders from the case manager that have the parties considered mediation, what you want to do is encourage it at each step of the case. Wow. And fact of the matter is parties in substantial cases sometimes take some time to get used to the concept of
I didn't know. So you both offer basically free mediation support in the context of a pending arbitration.
You're not paying anything additional in terms of fees. You are paying for the mediator.
Right.
For the mediator and for some administrative expenses, which is quite inexpensive.
So it's so people listening to this podcast, you know, go out and get a, if you got a pending ICC or ICD arbitration, it sounds like there's very little cost to just trying mediation.
Mm. Well, and you shouldn't give up your hearing date, you know, because there's nothing like a deadline, you know, to energize the process. So I mean, if I was going to recommend how a party uses the process, I mean, consider mediation first. But if you're in an existing arbitration, I mean, keep your hearing date. Parties get a lot more realistic in terms of their possible outcomes as you get a little closer to that.
When the deadline's looming over your head.
Yes.
Whether we're in an arbitration and we try mediation or we filled out the form and paid a fee to get our way in the door, what happens now? I mean, we're going to talk to you about the selection of the mediator, assuming that we haven't been able to agree with the other party. Where do your mediators come from? Melanie, for example, ICC, what's the pool of, is it a limited pool or is it an unlimited pool?
No, it's not a limited pool, and we do not work actually with a list of neutral, like all neutral, because under the ICC ADR rules, party can choose a mediation, conciliation, evaluation, or any other amicable techniques. So I'm not going to give a name, so I will call the neutral, which means mediator or conciliator. So how we select neutral? So we can propose or appoint a neutral, but because we are an international institution and 80% of cases under the ICC ADR rules are international cases and not domestic cases, we must work with neutral from all over the world. So we use our network, which is composed of more than 90 national committees from all over the world. We usually request from the party a maximum of description as regard to the quality, the language, and the experience. They look for into the mediator or the neutral, and then we will ask several national committees to proposal names, and then we will select one or two or three neutral for the case.
Mark, how about you guys? Do you have a limited pool, or is it restricted?
The parties can agree on their mediator, and recognizing party autonomy, the party's process. They agree on someone. We're certainly going to say that's great. We'll work with that person. That said, I think we've figured out over time that mediation skills are significantly different than arbitration skills, that some terrific arbitrators can't mediate, that you need to find people.
Most don't want
to. Don't want to and can't. It's a different skill set. I mean, one's a decider and the other's a helper. And so, what we do is we spend a good deal of time wherever we are in the world, whether it's Asia or Africa or Europe, Middle East, Americas, identifying people who have a track record, who are known for their competency as mediators. And it's by talking to users. We talk to our customers. We have this concept that you can learn a lot by talking to your customers. So the question is, who have you used? Would you use them again? If so, why? If not, why not? And then, using that database, identify people who have a track record in mediation. We require all of our neutrals to go through sort of continuing education and training. And then we size them up. Based on experience, we'll come back to them or not. In a typical mediation, we might identify a couple of people. We might give the parties a choice of a couple of names. or what we're going to do is speak with counsel, get counsel from parties on the line. What are you looking for? And then try to come up with someone who meets their collective requirements.
It sounds like it's like both of you. It's an interactive process. You don't have a restricted pool of people. It's open, and you're going to try and find the best person on the market out there.
I think, in a way, maybe we're more the same on this respect as well. We have someone we call a solutions manager who works within our secretariat. That person is really focused not on arbitration. Mm-hmm. But on alternatives, whether it's mediation or others, DRB, ENE, whatever the parties are looking for under the circumstances. But it's that person's job, really, to listen and to look for opportunities to say, is mediation right for you?
Okay, that the ICC, and it's important to note the differences between the two institutions, because we do not provide legal advice to the parties at the ICC. We are an institution who provide international rules to resolve disputes. So we are here to help the party, to help professionals, means arbitrators, mediators, experts, to deal with the case. We are here to help the party with the procedure, but we do not give any legal advice. We do not call the person we work a customer, but users, which is, I guess, the main difference is...
No competent institution, of course, would give legal advice.
Uh-huh. I mean, for the ICC, but maybe that's not clear enough. We do not encourage a party to use arbitration instead of mediation and...
You're there to ask them if they have considered it. Maybe there's a misunderstanding.
Well, this is getting at that. I was going to ask you guys in any event, and this is an interesting approach to the way the institutions come at mediation in practice. And that is, my experiences are, and with both of your organizations, is that when it's cross-marketing of services, when we've had ICDR disputes, the experience is you guys call us up and call both parties and say, we notice you've started an arbitration, why don't you try mediation? And then we also get a letter, even during a pending arbitration, the case manager says, why don't you try mediation? Mm-hmm. And that even when we had the ICDR, not as the administrative institution in arbitration, but only as the appointing authority, the case manager even said there, why don't you consider mediation? Mm-hmm. With all of the ICC arbitrations that we've had, however, on the other hand, very different experience, where in the context of an arbitration, you have a lot of interaction with the case manager, but they never mention the mediation services. It seems to be it's a different silo approach. You've got, in other words, it seemed to be very similar once you get in the door and in some ways how you approach providing the mediator. But in terms of the interaction with the arbitration part of the business, mm-hmm. very different.
Yeah, it's very different.
Maybe we should talk about where that comes from or sort of institutional philosophy. What we really were told by our customers, not our idea, was that there are circumstances where one party would like mediation, maybe both parties would like mediation, but neither party feels capable of suggesting it to the other. And so there was real value in an institution asking the parties whether they've considered the process. Sometimes if it comes from a neutral, in this case a neutral institution, have you considered mediation? A party is more willing to say, all right, I'll try it. Whereas, at least from the perspective of trial counsel, if they propose mediation to the other side, sometimes the response is, if they want it, their case must be weak. So there is something to be said for a neutral question.
Right.
Have you considered? Not, why don't you try so much? Have you considered? This way, if the parties are ready, if the circumstances are right, if the parties want to use the process, they can. It's not directing, it's asking.
Mm-hmm.
It's being of assistance. It's assisting the best possible resolution of the case. Whatever.
Yeah, I think that you're right when you say that it's a philosophical approach. It's completely different at the ICC. In order maybe to preserve the maximum of party autonomy, if the party requests an arbitration, we are not going to propose any other dispute resolution mechanism. And they are available like a toolbox, and it's up to the party to determine which tool they want to use or which combination they want to use. And it's important to note that in light of our statistic, in my department for the ADR services, in 68% of the case, we have a combined clause with an ADR followed by an arbitration, but we are not going to advise or to propose another techniques or to say to our user, maybe you think about trying another technique or so.
So very, very interesting. It's important to say there is a different approach here, whereas the ICC is very clear. Two boxes, two different.
Many boxes. Have you considered your tools versus your tools? You pick the one, I guess.
We have different doors that you can go through. If you come in through this door, it's available to you, and we will help you. And then they have a similar process.
But once again,
and you have like more of a
party,
one door approach.
The parties want to try another dispute resolution mechanism.
Right.
For example, if they are doing an arbitration proceedings and they want to try ICC ADR, it's always possible under
right.
the rules.
Of course, bodies can agree to
it. Before we get off the subject of selection of mediators, I wanted to ask you, for anybody who might be listening who is a mediator who would like to be considered as an ICC or an ICDR mediator, sounds like it's not something you can apply for. It's that you get there by your reputation. Is this one of these, don't call us, we'll call you? Is that how you... Or can people actually apply if they've got many years of experience, accreditation, and everything else as mediators? Could they, for example, write a letter or send an email to the ICDR or the ICC?
Yes, of course. We receive a lot of CV and resume of mediator, conciliator, experts, and we are always happy to know who is doing what in the world. But we also advise the professional that they have to keep in touch also with our national committee.
Okay, so important for that person to, for example, if it's Brazil, I think you have a national committee in Brazil.
Yes.
So that it would not be necessarily you folks in Paris, but it would be making themselves visible.
Visible also
for
the
Brazilian mediator. Let the Brazilian committee know about you and what you do and how international you are. Mark, what about you guys? If
people do send CVs and resumes, and our experience is that people always look great on paper, and so maybe a little closer to your statement earlier. I think we feel it's incumbent on us to check the bona fides of people, and so what we do is we. One of the responsibilities of our staff, wherever they are, so myself in this part of the world is actually running down the qualifications of particular mediators in particular countries, and that's by talking to users.
Right.
And so it's not so much don't call me, I'll call you, but rather understand that it's not about sending me repeated requests to be on our roster of mediators. It's going to be about getting experience as a mediator, having a successful track record, and then we're going to come to you. You're right.
And develop
come
reputation.
To you and say we want to have you available to us for mediation services.
Okay. Do either of your institutions have basic accreditation requirements or continuing legal education requirements, or is it just what you just said? ICC looks out to its national committees, and you really rely on them in terms of the capabilities. And Mark, you folks look to the customers and reputation there, but you're not really looking at the basic training or accreditation certifications.
For the ICC, we do not work with an accreditation. Process or something like that. We do provide training for counsel, training for a CEO, training for professionals, but without any certification at the end of the training. We do think that that's very difficult to establish international level, to establish a common standard. And the question is, who will be in charge of the elaboration of the standard? And so that's a very difficult question. And we are in the way of consultation as regard to the project, the IMI. But we do think for the moment that's a little bit dangerous to standardize these kind of things at an international level. And we, in order once again to preserve the party autonomy, we do prefer. Ask clearly the party what they're looking for, what competence, what quality they want in the the mediator or conciliator, and then we propose someone who have experience and sometimes also training and accreditation from other institutions, but not from the ICC. But it's not a mandatory requirement or something like that.
We do have a different philosophy in that regard. I mean, we think that our customers are looking for quality assurance. We know that mediation is something that is frequently local as opposed to global, and that our customers are doing business everywhere in the world, and that they would like to have people in those parts of the world who are competent and capable. And so we think providing a standard, and not a low standard, but a high standard, that people can reach, that allows for cultural differences, that allows for national differences, is a good idea. We do training for mediators. For the last several years, we've actually been providing cross-cultural international mediation skills training at the request of the IBA, International Bar Association. And, you know, whether we continue to do that or not, I suppose it's a matter of resources available and the like, but we've been doing training for many years. We do require our mediators to have educational, you know, background training, not necessarily by ICDR, but training. We do look for our mediators to have continuous professional development. We actually require people to go through continuing education. We don't call it training. Right. We call them symposia. But, you know, same difference. It's best practices. So we bring mediators together, just like we bring arbitrators together to talk about process, what works and what doesn't. We think that makes for a better a trained, a more competent mediator, and in the end gives us more confidence in using those people.
I can tell you both that from my own experiences, I think most of our mediation experiences tend to be ultimately, in many respects, local, even though they're international. You know, they have it seems to have a more domestic character to them than, say, an international arbitration proceeding. And maybe it's just because you're flying into a city for a one-day meeting and there might be people flying in from two or three different countries. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be, in many respects, you know, you've got a mediator often there from that place. And there is a qualitative determination when you see that someone has actually gone to the trouble of becoming certified under some institution.
There needs to be a level of quality assurance. I mean, it is different than arbitration, yeah. And it is not uncommon for a party to say to another party, you know, who do you want to use? Because the idea is that person will be more capable of moving them.
I wouldn't call it quality assurance as much as am I getting somebody who's really a mediator?
Who speaks mediation.
Who knows how to facilitate. You know,
always helpful. Yeah. Well, what you don't want is showing up at the mediation and after, you know, talking about your case for a few minutes, having the person who's sitting at the head of the table say, here's my decision.
Oh, I had that once. I've had that. It's just a disaster. That's the end of the mediation. You know, that's
So anything, and maybe there's lots of ways to get at this. Whether it's programs like this one we're participating in now, where we're working with the institutions starting up their process, mm-hmm. and assisting them with that. Mm-hmm. Whether it's providing something entirely new, IMI's, you know, process and global sort of quality assurance standard. Anything that raises the level is a good thing.
But one last. Well, maybe about this topic, just because we really appreciate the ITC, that the wave of consultation around these projects, and it's very interesting to exchange view about this big project. And but one thing, in light of my experience in the ADR Secretariat, let's come back on the user's needs. I never had any formal request from parties who ask clearly, I want a mediator with this training, with this certification, or with this, accreditation, and so on. So I'm wondering.
It's a new area. It's clearly a new area.
It doesn't exist, frankly, which is what makes IMI different than what's out there currently. What there are is a number of organizations that provide training around the world. The only outfit that really had a certification scheme that was different was NMI. in the Netherlands, and IMI is a direct outgrowth of that.
In fact,
it was an institution that both of our institutions participated in. It was at the UIA forum where we learned about this sort of different approach, taking the testing requirement away from the provider organization, you know, separating it a little bit, and hopefully adding another step or another level of quality assurance. We'll see.
We want to wrap this up shortly here, but before we go, I would really like to talk a little bit about what you folks are doing to promote mediation, and not to do a promotional statement for the ICC.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard nothing but good things, I mean, from all quarters about this international moot mediation that you have put on.
Yes.
Can you say a little bit about that and how it's organized every year?
Yeah, it's the only international commercial mediation in the world. No, seriously, there is one other, but a local one in US, but it's not an international mediation competition. So we created this competition 2 years ago. So this year in February 2008. That will be the third edition of this competition. We will invite 30 teams from various countries in the world. We will have more than 80 mediators from all over the world. So that's a fantastic opportunity to see a different approach of mediation.
How are they judged? On the effectiveness of their advocacy or on the effectiveness? What's the criteria for judging?
So they are representing clients and party and company representative. And so they are judged on their ability to use the mediator and to resolve the dispute.
Great. Mark, what you guys, anything the ICER is doing these days to promote?
It's part of our ongoing mission, you know, and whether it's working with courts in various countries and training judges as a way of getting them to maybe appreciate the process better, whether it's assisting a institution in Africa and Asia that is starting up their mediation center by talking to them about staffing requirements and administrative procedures, and maybe assisting them with training programs for mediators or with lawyers, with advocates. It's part of our mission, and something we take seriously and we do every day.
So a judge or a mediation institution, wherever, in Africa, Asia, South America, North America, wherever, you know, in North Dakota, you ought to feel free to reach out. Give your email.
Absolutely. Appelm at adr.org.
Okay. Melanie, you want to give your email in case anybody would like to reach you about mediation?
Yes, of course. It's mmh@iccwbo.org.
And we're not giving out any state secrets because those, I know from experience, those email addresses are available on your website.
On the website, go to the website. I mean, this is how people do business anymore anyway. Go to icdr.org.
Well, let me play the role of a mediator and say this is a win-win for everyone if more people accept mediation. So thanks so much for taking this
time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast or the issues discussed can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.